Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good all the time. And we also know, believe, and hold to the truth that God, through His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has changed the covenant, and He has given us three commands that sum up all of the scriptures from the beginning to the end: to love God, love others, and go. And in those three commands, all the Word of God is wrapped up in the heart of His Son, who is our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And so we shall go this day. Today's sermon title is entitled, "From the Pressing Comes the Blessing." How many of you realize that? How many of you understand that if you're going to be blessed, you're going to be pressed? Because God doesn't just give things away to give them away. God is a gracious God. Can I get an amen? But God also knows we need to be prepared to receive a blessing. Because if we receive a blessing in sin, what are we going to do with that blessing? We're going to sin with it. And God needs to purge us. God needs to make us the image of Christ. We are always and constantly being brought to, through progressive sanctification, into the image of Jesus Christ. That's why we are told in the book of Philippians that we are to work out our salvation with joy and gladness. No, with fear and trembling. Because we serve a holy God, and we are less than holy. We are a broken people trying to attain to that image. And we can't do anything to attain to it. However, Jesus Christ has given it to us as a gift. Can I get an amen? But in that gift, it is our responsibility to come under the Holy Spirit and to be transformed through time. Now, does that mean we're all going to be perfect before we get out of this world? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I want us to understand what that means and what it looks like. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 12. The book of John, chapter 12. We're going to open here with something that's a little difficult, but we will all understand it because we are all in the process of it our very selves. And it so amazes me because when we think of this, we do not think of ourselves as partaking in it because this is something that the Christ had to do. And only He is able to bring life. But each of us are bringing life into our own lives and to those around us. From the book of John, chapter 12. From verse 23, we read these words. The book of John. Oops, that's Luke. Let's go one more chapter. As soon as I looked at that, I knew it was wrong. Book of John, chapter 12. Begin in verse 23. There we go. "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour.'" Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. How many of you this day or throughout the year or whatever, and we can all understand this, sometimes feel like everything just comes against you and you wonder if there's any value to what you do in life? It just seems like no matter how hard you try, trials and tribulations just seem to come. It's like you open the day and you think, "Lord, this is going to be a good day," and the next thing you know, something bad seems to happen. Well, I want you to understand something. If you're going through difficult times, you need to understand God knows that you need to die to yourself in order that we may live unto Christ. It's part of transformation. We are losing our sinful image and beginning to pick up the image of Christ. You know, I deal with you folks all the time, and I love you, and I deal with this all the time, and God loves me. So do you think if God loves me, does God love you? Yeah, that's a question. You may answer that. Does God love you? Very good. And we need to let the people out there on the internet know. God loves you as well. He sent his son to die for you. And is that not what this scripture is speaking about? That one grain died, and from it is going to come life. We too need to die in the same manner. Remember, Jesus is our example. And if God brought his son to a physical death, does he want us to come to a point of death? Yes, but not a physical death, a death to the old self. This is how we attain to the baptism of Jesus Christ. How many of you have been baptized in Jesus Christ? Raise your hands. Amen. Praise Jesus. So we have been put into that water, which is a picture of dying to self and then coming back up a renewed person in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you're coming up out of that water, don't you think you need to look like Jesus a little bit more? Yes, we do. And that's what God's working at. That's why the tough things come into your life, because God transforms us. How many of you know change does not happen from something easy? Change takes difficulty. You know, I think it's one of the most amazing things, because when you change something around your house, what's one of the things you got to do? You got to demolition stuff. How many of you like the demolition process? To me, that's the fun part, man. I get to go in there and start ripping holes in walls and tearing things down and make a mess. But boy, I don't like that in my life. When it begins to happen to me, and God's getting in there and he's tearing things down and he's making a mess, I'm the one back in the corner saying, no, why me? Lord, not again. And he looks at me and says, why not you? I love you. I want you to be the image of my son. That means I got to tear this old stuff off. You know, it's like ripping that Band-Aid off when you got hairy arms. We all know what that's about. You know, how many of us grew up as the Mercurochrome generation? You know, these kids today have no idea what pain is. You know, I used to fear going in and getting healed more than getting hurt. Listen to them laugh. They know. These kids today, if we put Mercurochrome on them, they'd be calling child welfare on us. And God says, I'm going to put some Mercurochrome on that stuff in your life. Because he doesn't want us going back to it. You know that's why they use that stuff on you. If you're going to be stupid and hurt yourself, it's going to hurt so you remember it next time. It wasn't anything about healing. It was about making sure it don't happen again. Took me a long time to figure that out, but I got it. And we need to think about where God is with us and how he wants us to be and where he's going and what he's leading you to. If you're going through the pressing, God's getting ready to deliver a blessing. So get through the pressing and see what's coming out on the other side. You know, I want you to think about it. You know, we sit up here, and how many of you, you know, you reckon the olive oil on my desk, okay, or up here on the lectern. And you see that and you think to yourself, oh man, you know, that represents healing, that represents cleansing, that represents the power of God, right? And it does through the Holy Spirit. But how do you get olive oil? Takes some pressing, doesn't it? You take that raw fruit and you crush it. And then when you're done crushing it, which is the first pressing, then you add weight to it and you push it down all together, and all the liquid starts to come off. And do we keep the junk, or do we keep that precious oil that comes from the pressing? It's been pressed twice. You know, I think it's amazing, because the first pressing, which is just simply the weight of the arm of the press, and, you know, I wish I had a picture of a press, but a press was a long pole, and out here about midway, it had a plunger that would sit over a vat, and it would press the olive mash, and just the weight of that pole and the oil that would come off, that would be the virgin olive oil. That's the purest olive oil. But you see, they weren't done, because they wanted to make sure they got the fullness that was there. So then they would begin to hang rocks out on the end of that pole and pull it harder and harder and harder. And the harder they pulled it, the more dark the oil got. And all that oil, from the very finest to the darkest oil, it was all used. It was all used. And it was all used for different things. That first pressing that came off, that was used to light the lights in the house. That was used for burning in the temple, to light the candles in the temple, okay? It brought light into your house. Am I making sense here to you folks? Are you catching the spiritual side of this, okay? And then a little bit more pressing, and then that stuff, that was used for cooking. That was used to nourish and to bring health to your body and your bones. And then they would put the biggest amount of weights on there, and that oil that came out, that dark stuff, that, you know, it really stank, smelled like olives, okay, that really bad stuff, but it was still oil. That was used to make soap. So even in our lives, the harder the pressing, God has something to come from it. And it's all to be used. God does not waste anything. So if you're under pressing, the more it becomes, the harder it becomes, remember this: God is using up all your stuff. He is getting all the oil, all the good stuff out of the mesh, out of the mash, and then he's going to throw that away, okay? They would literally take that and throw it out in the fields and use it for fertilizer. God doesn't waste anything. Everything gets used. And you and I need to understand that stuff that's been thrown away, that's where you and I get to talk to other people who are in that stuff and tell them how God has used that thing, and now you're able to minister within the thing that God has given you to deal with. Because from the pressing comes the blessing, and now you get to talk to people who are going through the same stuff that you went through. Or perhaps there's a person in your life that you know, they're watching you go through this, and they're looking at it, and they're saying, oh, you know, life is so hard. Look how bad they have it over there, and oh, my heavens. But they see you glorying in Christ come the end of it. All of a sudden, they're like, well, how can you go through something so bad, something so difficult, and come out smiling? And some of you know what I mean. It's that time of year, isn't it, where it's real hard. We just spoke last Sunday, 8 years. 8 years. But praise be to God, we know that what evil meant for evil, God meant for good. And we have a little one in heaven. And guess what? She's been glorying in God for 8 years, and she's up there praying for each and every one of us. She's the one making this church go forward because she's got our back. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need to remember, we don't get to see everything that happens in eternity. Whew. But we need to remember, when evil comes your way, when the pressing starts to come, God means it to good, okay? And we know. And we know God worketh all things to good. And we have to hold on to that truth. We have to hold on to that reality, because you and I are going to go through some pressing from this day forward. But we all know the glory of the Lord. You know, we praise the Lord for these things. Do you know we praise the Lord for these things? We praise him for the pressing. How many of you realize today you just praised him for the pressing? Guys, pull up the first slide here. This day, these songs were chosen, and as I'm putting the sermon together, the Lord showed me how these songs truly are the theology that we just spoke. You know, one of the things that I want you all to realize, Pastor and Miss Susan do not just pick songs. It's not just song picking. Okay, there is a plan, there is a reason. God moves in our minds and in our hearts, and he puts these things together. But there's a reason the songs that we pick are so meaningful, because there's theology. How many of you know that when you're singing, you're doing theology? You are literally doing theology. And we're all like, well, what? I don't know any theology. Yes, you do. You sing it all the time. It's why your soul resonates. Look at the words. This is leaning, right? The more I'm leaning, the more I'm flying. Feels less like dying, more like living for heaven on earth. Next slide. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, what a priceless gift. God, I'm yours and you are mine. Let my restless soul be still and know I'm leaning on your everlasting arms. How many of you have a restless soul? How many of us going through this stuff in life, our soul just feels like it's in turmoil, it's churning. It is. That's your old self and your new self going at it. And God is going to bring that new self into the resilience of hope that each and every one of us have. Well, okay, that's wonderful, Pastor. That sounds good. But you know that one sentence, JB, back up two slides, please, from there. That one sentence in there, it says, feels less like dying. What's that talking about? What is that talking about? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. You know, sometimes we sing these songs and we look at ourselves and we say, oh my goodness, you know, what on earth am I doing? Can you believe I'm halfway through my sermon and I haven't even opened it yet? Woo. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We're in verses 24 through 27. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits its soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Blessed be the word of our Lord. When we look at those words right there, the more I'm leaning, the more I'm flying. Feels less like dying, more like living for heaven on earth. What does that mean? You know, we sing that, we all sing that line there, feels less like dying, and how many of us just kind of blow right over that? It's like, I have no idea what that means. It feels less like dying. Because when we are being transformed, we are dying to our old self. But when we are dying to our old self and being transformed, it feels more like living for heaven on earth because we're being transformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Tell me that's not theology, Miss Susan. And then it goes into the reality of that second phrase where it speaks of our restless soul. Let it be still and know that I am leaning on the everlasting arms of God, which is verse 27. Because Jesus is coming and he's bringing recompense unto each and every one of us for the things that we have done while we are in the flesh. And in that we glory because from the pressing comes the blessing. And God is bringing it and we're singing it. 90% of our songs, if we use them here at the church anyhow, they are theologically correct. That's why some of you, when you send me songs, and please don't ever stop, I haven't received any for quite some time now, so I'm making a shameless plug to send me some of your contemporary songs that you're listening to. Remember, Pastor doesn't listen to the radio, so if it's a new song, I need you to tell me about it. I'll look at it. We'll check it out. If it's theologically good, guess where it goes? Up on the wall. If it is not theologically sound and it's just a whole bunch of I love you, 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 it's not going anywhere. Because we all know we love Jesus. Can I get an amen? How many of you want to know why you love Jesus? That's what resonates with our souls. Is a simple fact that we are speaking the truth of God changing us, transforming us, which is his word brought right back to us in song. And we are simply singing the word. We are singing the reality of our transformed lives to Jesus. Well, Jesus gave us two songs this morning. And the second song was Oceans. Well, this first song talks about the dying to self. What did the second song sing about? Slide number three, JB, or number four. It says, you call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery. In oceans deep, my faith will stand. Next. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never failed and you won't start now. Spirit, lead me where my trust, oh my, do I love this word, where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and make my faith, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. What is this talking about? Does anybody have any idea? This is a talk to the pastor moment. What's he talking about here? Who's he talking about here? We all know the who here. Who's he talking about? And it's funny, Bobby's saying me, all right? Where in Scripture is this found? Turn to Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew, chapter 14. Boy, you know, it just so amazes me, because even though you don't remember, guess what does in you? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. So guess whose job it is to help you recognize the Spirit of God and to bring him forth? That's my job. That's my job as your pastor, to shepherd you to the one who is Jesus Christ, our living Lord. From verse 25, as soon as I can get my pages unstuck. From verse 25. And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, that's 12. Wow, my pages are really sticking. 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And they got back into the boat. The wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Now, do you understand why this resonates with us? It's not just talking about Peter being out there in the boat. It's talking about you and I being out there in the storms of our lives, in the depths of the oceans of this world and of the fathomless depths of the spirit world that you and I walk in. That you and I need to have that place where our spirit leads us and where trust is without borders. How many of you, I want God to meet me right here where I am and nowhere else. Lord, keep me comfortable. I like my air conditioning. I like my cushioned pews. I like my. And guess what? God's going to tell you you're leaving this place. It's going to be cold outside. It's going to be hot outside. It's going to be storming outside. There's going to be all kinds of trials in life. And God says, let your trust be without borders. You know, we read the word where it says, "Lord, increase my territory. Strengthen the tent posts, and let me increase the borders of my land." And we say, "Oh yeah, we want that." But boy, do we want that when it comes to us? Do we want God to stretch us? Nope. But guess what's got to happen? If we're going to become the image of Jesus Christ, if we're going to receive the blessing, the pressing has to come. God has to take us into that deep water. He's got to take us into the deep things of himself that we can no longer, and you notice that picture there, that it was on the beach, okay? That's not where God meets us. He ain't going to meet you on the beach. Where's he going to meet you? You see that horizon back there right under borders? Yeah, that's where he's going to take you. And it's not going to be a purty and calm ocean. Can I get an amen? It's going to be waves that are rocking. You know, when he met Peter out there, when he called Peter out on the water, it was not a calm night. And it says, and when Peter saw the wind, in other words, he took his eyes off of Jesus. And the song says that I will keep my eyes above the waves. Because that's where it stands. When we are looking at Christ, not our situation. When you're going through this stuff, don't look at the situation. Look at the victor over it, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I get an amen out of the church today? As you and I understand that God is going to take us into things that are far bigger, far deeper than any of us could ever handle, there we know that we are going to see the victory. Because Jesus is the only one who can turn a mess into a message, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victor. Can I get an amen? And that's where he has us going. Guys, if you're going through something and you feel like less of a man, I'm going to tell you right now, the reason you're going through it is because God wants you to know you are his man. And ladies, if you're going something that's bringing self-doubt into your mind and you think you are less than able, I'm telling you right now, he is teaching you and providing unto you the reality and the resources that you are all sufficient in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen, ladies? Because that's where he wants us to see ourselves. We are the children of the King. We lack no good thing in Jesus Christ. And he is going to be the one that's out there. But we don't look at ourselves. We don't look at who we are because we do all these things. What does that last line say? And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. It's not about what you and I can do, but it's about what he is going to do for us. Did not Jesus reach down into the water and pull Peter out? When Peter thought it was getting over his head, Jesus said, hey, I'm right here, and we're going to do it again. And what did they do? Jesus carried him into the boat. No, he didn't. He walked with him into the boat. You and I need to understand, Jesus doesn't want to carry us all the time. He wants us to walk beside him. Can I get an amen? And in that, we will have the victory over these things because he, Jesus Christ, is our victory. And it is his strength, his power, his image. And when we bear it, we have all the power of it. And from the pressing comes the blessing. So walk in that truth. Walk in the knowledge and the hope of Jesus Christ. Because each and every one, wow, guys, I have 2 hours, 32 minutes, and 41 seconds. We're going to be here a while. I don't know what they did to that clock, but I know it's wrong. Aren't you glad I know it's wrong? I just happened to look up because I got one last scripture, and then we're done. But I'm telling you right now, we're not done. We're not done. Jesus is going to continue moving in our lives. And the Lord is going to examine all that we are. And he's going to bring this confrontation where he is going to bring us through progressive sanctification that we will ever be transformed to the image of God. And that is a truth, because God's love is transformative to our sin nature. He will not allow us to remain as we are, but will bring about the who he has created us to be. Can I get an amen? Turn in your Bibles, last scripture, and we're just going to read it together. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28-30, okay? 28 through 30. Romans 8:28-30. And I'm going to read it, but I want you to read it with me. We're going to read it together, all right? And we know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Did you just read that last statement? God is in the process of glorifying you, bringing you to the place where you shine the image of Christ into this world. Each and every one of you is going through the pressing to become the blessing. Pray with me this day. Father God, we thank you so much that you would not abandon us to our failings, but that you would work with us and through us to transform us to the image of Jesus Christ, your Son. That we would be transformed from glory to ever-increasing glory. May we honor you, Lord. May we lay our lives down. And may we walk in that image, that others may see you, know you, and find the hope of your salvation, even if it means the pressing of my life. In Jesus' holy name, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.